The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the last few weeks, both on Wednesday night and on Shabbos, we've been speaking about the teachings of Rabbi Akiva, or what we can learn from him, because there was hardly a person who started from such a humble level, when he was 40 years old, he hadn't learned Chumash or Mishnah yet. And before he left this world, he reached a Madrega level, which the Gemara brings in Masechta Menaches, Kisholom Meisha Rabbeinu Lamorim. When Meisha went up to receive the Torah, he found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns onto the letters of the Torah, and he asked, "What are these?" And Hashem said, "This is not for you, but this is for someone who will come up late in later generations." Akiva ben Yosef Shemai, for Rabbi Akiva. So he was to reach levels that in some ways were even higher than Mesha. And because of this, especially in preparation for the giving of the Torah, the receiving of the Torah, which is on Chag Shavuos, we were studying about his teachings. And we brought that there were two very great principles that his life expounded. One was that even though he had constant discouragements and constant setbacks, or even might be failures, but this never stopped him. He would recover from them, and he would get up, and he would go further, he would go forward, and always seeing the light in the darkness, always with a great drive and optimism. And we elaborated on that. And the second great principle is his great honor that he had for Torah and the Chachomim and the sages, where it states in Mesechta Oveis, Havi Misavik, Biafa Raglehem, Rabbi Sheis is called Ivrehem Betzome. This was Rabbi Lezer, his Rabbi, in the Rabbi Kiva, where he would sit in the dust of the elders and drink each word of Torah with an unending thirst. The Mishnah at the end of Masechta Seita states, Mishumeis Rabbi Akiva Botel Kavarat Hera. Once Rabbi Akiva died, the world lost a level of the honor of Torah. Where do we see that he gave honor to Torah? Rashi says, from the fact that he would expound every word and every letter of the Torah, there was nothing in the Torah that he saw as redundant or superfluous. This is the greatest honor to the Torah. And this was his life's work. This evening, I'd like to dwell on a third principle which he taught. And this is a principle which is a very, very great principle. and no doubt assisted him greatly to come to these levels. But unfortunately, this is something which we are not always cognizant of. Maybe theoretically, but not practically. That is, we are all very well aware of the shortcomings of the human being. We know his frailties, we know his weaknesses, we know that today he's here and tomorrow he's not. Chol Yom of Kitzel Ever, his entire life is like a fleeting shadow. My Enesh, what is a person? He constantly is led astray by the Yetzer Hara. He is drawn to the evil. Akina v'ataiva v'akovod mitzina so odem min ha'ilam. He is driven by the passions of envy and desires and quests for honor, which shorten his life. And he is a person who is full of hatred, machlekes, and war. And as all we have to do is look around the world, we don't have to look very far, and we see very, very stark illustrations of all of this. And this is common knowledge. What we're not always so cognizant of is that even though all of this is true, and a person can fall to such levels, and he does fall to these levels, but if one is accustomed, or like in today's world, programmed, to think that this is the essence of the human being, aside from the fact that there could not be a greater error that he's making, but in actuality he's a kafir b'maase Hashem. This is a total atheism in the handiwork of Hashem. And even further, this brings a person to not only have a very a very dim outlook, which is devoid of value to the world, but to human life. And this will bring a person to Shvichas Domin, to cause the loss of life. It is for that reason that today, I don't know if it's today, this is probably the history of the world, that one nation can go to war against another and kill off millions of people because life is cheap, it's meaningless. Or in domestic crimes, people are murdered all of the time. But even amongst the so-called peace-loving nations, and nations which are law-abiding, you have all types of Shvichas Domin. For example, today it's common where you'll have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of abortions in the most civilized worlds. Or it drives a person even to take his own life, heaven forbid. Because after all, what is life worth? But when we put this in the proper perspective, How can anyone with any intelligence come to such a conclusion? Why do I say this? Because anyone with any intelligence certainly recognizes the creation of the Almighty, of the Shemaim and the Oretz, as Hayom Ves Kol Asher Bom, of the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in it. And who can measure the expanse of the world when astronomers tell us that there are stars that are so far away that it can take millions of years for their light to reach the earth? And who can count how many drops of water there are in the great oceans? And who can calculate the weights of the earth in the mountains? And who can count or calculate the different types of creatures there are in the sea, each one being a most marvelous creation? And our Chazal tell us that afilu kol chachmei ha'oretz borin yachtov, even if all of the wise of the earth will come together, afilu namala achas eino yochel livra, they would not be able to create one ant. Now, if man is the perfection and the greatest of the entire creation, but for that reason he was created at the end of all of creation, and he was chosen to be the master of creation, and the sages state le nivro kol elam ele bishvilei, that the whole creation was for him, then how is it possible for a person to have such an outlook devoid of value towards the human being? And this principle is what Rabbi Akiva taught. It states in the Mishnah Novus in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yudalet, Hu Hoya Eimer. Rabbi Akiva would say, not only he said this, but wherever it states Hu Hoya Omer, means this is something he would always say. He would always say, Choviv Odom Shenivro Betzelem, how great is the human being who was created in the image of the Almighty. Chibi Yeseira Nodaslei Shenivro Betzelem. So much dearness, endearment, and love HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the human being that he created him in his own image. Shenemar, as it states, Ki Betzelem Elokim Osa Asa Odom. As it tells us in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in his own image. When Hashem created the world, when it came to create man, so he said as follows, Vayim Elokim, Bereishis Aleph Pasuk Chof Vav, Vayim Elokim Na'aseh Adam B'tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. Hashem said, let us create a man in our image, in our demus, that is similar to, he was referring to he himself, V'yid B'tgas Hayom, and he shall rule over the world from the fish to the sea, of the sea, U'be'eif HaShemayim, to the birds of the heaven, U'ba'behema, and all of the animals, V'chol Ha'oretz, and the entire land, V'chol Haremes, Haremes Al Ha'oretz, and everything that creeps in the land. Vayivar Elokim Asa'adim B'Tzalmai. And Hashem created man in his image. B'Tzalem Elokim Bara Esai. He created him in the image of Hashem. Zohar Unakeva Bara Osam. He created them male and female. Vayivar Hashem Elokim Vayem Elohim. And he blessed them and he said to them, Peru Urvu Milos Ha'oretz. You shall be fruitful and multiply and fill up the land with Kivshuha and conquer it. Uredu b'degas hayom uve'if ha-shomayim, you shall rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, uve'chol chaya remeses al odom. All of the creatures and everything that creeps in the land. Now the Begimah says, we must take note of this, because this shows an endearment, a love, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the human being and singled him out above all of creations. There is the question, what does it mean? What does it mean, B'Tzelem Elokim? His image. We know that Hashem has no image, he has no physical form. Ein lei dmus guf. The Maharam Prag elaborates on this in the Mishnah Novice, which we would like to quote a few of the principles mentioned there this evening. Now there are two dimensions when we refer to the Tzelem Elokim, to the image of Hashem. Firstly, it is true that the Almighty has no physical form. But he certainly has attributes, he certainly has principles. For example, he is a king, he is royal, he has the midos ha-emes, that of truth, of chesed, of kindliness, of uprightness, and so forth and so on. This we know. Now these attributes are bilti gashmi. These are abstract from the physical world. And therefore, he has no physical image. Nevertheless, these principles can be garmented in a physical garment. I'll give you an example. If you would ask a child to draw a picture of a king, and to draw a picture of the servants, the king he would draw as someone who was very tall and big, because a king represents Memsholo. Power, monarchy, rule. The servant represents the one who is subservient. So the king he will draw very tall, big, and overpowering. The servants he will draw lowly and humble. Yet the principle of being a king, or the principle of being a servant, is actually an abstract principle. We are merely illustrating it physically. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he imparted to him part of his kingliness.
He said, I am the Melech. I am the king over all of the worlds. I'm going to make you the king over this world. And you will rule over all of the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and so forth. So he imparted him with this sovereignty, with this monarchy. When he came to formulate this physically, he formed everything to crawl on all fours. Man was to walk upright. Because the principle of kingliness he gave only to man. The others were his servants. Actually, the Medrash tells us that he made another king at that time also, a king over the animals, and that was the serpent. And the serpent also originally walked upright until his sin, and then he took his legs away from him and he said, you shall crawl on your belly. It's also interesting to note that as a rule, no other creatures walk upright, only man. There are some that try to walk upright, but they fall. One creature that always tries to walk upright, but he falls, are the creatures from the monkey and ape family. Their Hebrew name is Kof. And Kof means to copy. It's in Loshon HaKodesh. Kof Lahakif means to copy, to duplicate. And the Vilna Gaon writes in a place where they are the last level, the highest level of the animal kingdom. And therefore they want to copy the human being. So they try to, but they fall. This is one example HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man Betzalmel. He imparted to him his attribute and incorporated this in man's physical form. Another example, Locha Hashem Agvura. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the symbol of strength. His strength is bilti gashmi. It's free of all physical form. Tell a child to draw a picture of a strong man. He would draw a picture of a man with strong arms and biceps. This was the Yod HaChazoka Uzraya Netuya. And the Nevi'im, the prophets, when they wanted to show us the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they couldn't describe to us the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu where we could understand them sufficiently, unless they describe them with descriptions from our physical world. So they said, the Yod HaChazoko, the strong arm, the strong hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zreya Netuya, the outstretched arm of Hashem, even though he's free of arms and hands, but this strength he wanted to give the human being also, but in a physical form. So he gave him a strong hand and outstretched arms. Another example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Midas HaEmes, truth. Truthfulness is your sword. It's not to the right and not to the left. Ask a child to draw a picture of something which is perfectly straight. He will draw a straight line. It's not a crooked line. Sheker, deceit, is illustrated through crookedness, while truthfulness is illustrated through uprightness. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give that quality of himself to man. Therefore, he made man straight, not crooked. It's interesting because some of these attributes were given to the Nochash, to the serpent, the Nochash HaKanoni, the first serpent also. But when he became deceitful, and when he wanted to use his power to rebel against Hashem and cause man to rebel against the commandments of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut off his legs. He fell to his belly, where he became a servant to all, and he became crooked, where the serpent never goes in a straight line, but always is wiggling his body in a crooked way, because he took away from him all of that quality of straightness and truth, because he had destroyed it. Another example. The Medrash tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu states in the end of Parshas Ekev, Eine Hashem Elekecho Bo Mereshis Hashono Ad Achris Hashono. The eyes of Hashem watch the world. There it's referring specifically to Eretz Yisrael, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And it uses the Loshon Rabim. It uses a plural description, the eyes of Hashem. And what does that mean? So the sages say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sees good, and he sees evil. He can bring good decrees to the world, and heaven forbid, the evil decrees. He gave man the power to see good and to be drawn to the good, and to see evil in order to remove himself from the evil. Therefore, he created man with two eyes. And so on and so on. Generally, we think that the Almighty took the earth. He fashioned a body, and in it he put a soul. The body is physical, and the soul is spiritual. Spiritual. This is not true. The body also is spiritual. When he fashioned the body, he did not fashion the body merely according to biological needs, but he fashioned the body in accordance to spiritual needs. This we see from the illustrations that we have given, and we see this further because the Gemara brings at the end of Masechta Makos, it states that the human body has Ramach, Resh Mem Ches, Evorim, and Shosa Gidim, 248 organs and 365 Gidim tendons and muscles. To correlate with the 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. So we see that the not only was the soul spiritual, but the body itself was made in accordance to a spiritual blueprint. And this is what Iov said in Iov Perek Yutes. That if one is wise and he can examine his own body, through this he will be able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty. We can come to a great understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by understanding our own physical body, because this was fashioned in accordance to his attributes. So this is the first meaning, what it means, Chaviv Odom Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim, that how dear was man that he was created in accordance to the image of the Almighty. There's a second dimension, even a further dimension. And that is when Hashem said, "Ki b'tzelem Elokim osas ha'odom," let us make man in accordance to my own image. He meant also that he would impart to man part of he himself. Not only would he form man in accordance to his own attributes, but he would give man part of he himself. Now what is that? Excuse me, Baruch. If we would try to give some description to the essence of the Almighty Himself, the Maral says that description would be or a light. And what is he basis? Because it states Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. We brought this, I believe, in last week's shir. Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, said, a mitzvah is like a candle. The Torah is a light. And then we explained what is the difference between this is a candle, this is a light. Because the candle is a limited light. You take from the light, but you have to incorporate it in a physical structure. You need a menorah, you need a candle holder, you need some type of physical fuel, be it wax or be it oil, you need some type of wick, and then you can ignite it. And because it's in a physical structure, it's going to be limited, like everything that's physical. So it'll burn only as long as the fuel is there, as long as the wick is there, and so forth. And then we went on to explain, what does that have to do with mitzvahs? Because mitzvahs are also fulfilled only in the physical world, and through the physical world. If it's a matzah, it has to be a physical matzah. If it's an esrog, if it's a lulav, if it's a sukkah. Or it has to be through the physical body. If it's an act of kindliness, or if it's charity, and so forth. And therefore it has limitations. Matzah you can fulfill dafkan Pesach. Sukkah you can fulfill the sukkah, dafkan sukkah. This is mitzvahs, ner mitzvah. Torah is or. But the Torah itself is like an endless light. When we look at light, the abstract light, there we are looking at light that is not incorporated in any physical structure. And therefore it's almost unlimited. For example, if you have a candle and it's making a glare, if you walk far enough away from it, so you'll come to a certain point where the light will end. If you let in the sunlight and it's making a glare, you cannot walk away from it. No matter where you walk, the sunlight will extend to it. You want to get away from it, you're going to have to block it out, because the sunlight will extend almost endlessly. But the sunlight is also physical. But at any rate, Torah is like a light which is incorporated in no physical form whatsoever. And therefore it's unlimited. And this we explained, because when you study the Torah, the mitzvahs, the study is not done through the physical world. It's done through the spirit and the intelligence which HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued in the human being. And that is separated from the physical world. That's beyond the physical world. And therefore Torah is unlimited. And therefore Torah knows no bounds. You could study the mitzvah of Sukkot on Pesach. You can study the mitzvahs of Matzah on Sukkot. And you can only fulfill the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. You can only fulfill the mitzvahs of the Beis HaMikdash in the Beis HaMikdash. But the studying of the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael and the studying of the korbanos, the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, can be b'chol zman b'chol mokom, any place and any time. So this is what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said ki Torah or ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. The mitzvahs are like a candle, and then the Gemara describes they have their limitations. Torah is unlimited. So the Baral builds on this. He says, if Torah is an or, is a light, that's the description of Torah. And the sages tell us that kuchibrihu v'uraisa chadhu, that Hashem and Torah is one. And there is nothing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing closer to the Almighty in all creation than His Torah. Then if the description of Torah is or, then this also is the description of the Almighty, or, light. Except, we must not confuse this with the light of the sun. The light of the sun can give us an idea of what light is. But the light of the sun is also physical, because the sun is physical. So what does it mean? He says, if you look through the creation, if you look through the essence of the physical world, you will see the lower you go down, the closer to the earth you go, the less the light. The higher you go, there you reach more light. If you dig into the earth, you go into a cave, it starts to get dark. You go down to the depths of the sea, for a while it's light. But the deeper you go, the darker it becomes. Go to the core of the earth, becomes very, very dark. As you start to elevate yourself, there's more light. You go high up, the light is clearer. The higher you go, the light is more pure. He said, because the light is the opposite, is an antithesis to physical matter. The less the physical matter, the purer the light. On our physical world, the earth is the most of the physical matter, the light is the least. And this is why the light was created first, Vayi Or. And this was the sun. But this light extends beyond the sun. There is what is known as the Or HaTachton and the Or HaElyon. There's the light of this world, but which takes its light even from upper worlds. The light on this world is still a physical light, although it's the least physical of all of the elements and components of this world. But it draws its power from a higher light, which is something non-physical in totality. And this is what is meant at Torah's Or, is this purest light. The fact is, the Gemara tells us, it says, the source of the Or to the world. Where did the light come into the world? It came from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Mishom Yotza Or. From there the light came into the world. And that's where the Torah was. And the Oron, the place of the Torah, was called Oron al Shem HaOr, because that is where the Or came. So if we would describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu just like we describe His Torah, we would describe it as the totally pure light. Now, if it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I want to create a man in my image, I want to impart to man something of myself, this means that He imparted to man a degree of this light, of this shine. And this is what He gave to man. Actually, He mentions that a little degree of this light He gave to all of the creatures, to the creations, to all the creatures. But a significant degree He gave only to man. And this is what is meant, Ki Betzalem Elokim. Now, where did this light come to man? The sages say that the main light came to man on his face. Because that is the most significant area of man as an individual. What distinguishes one person from another? The person's face. You see, if you're looking for someone and you see a whole crowd and you're wondering where is the person you're looking for, and if their backs are to you, you can't tell. If their faces are being covered, you can't tell. But once you see his face, oh, there's the person I'm looking for. And the sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king like no other king. When a king decides to make coins and he puts an image on a coin and he puts out 100,000 coins, every coin has the same image. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates millions and millions of people, and everyone has a different face. And just like he gave everyone a different soul, he gave everyone a different face. You'll never find two people that have an identical face. And it compares it to the person's innermost soul. That just like he has his body might be the same as another person, but the soul is distinguished. That's distinctive. And that's mirrored on his face. And therefore, the most important aspect of the physical human being is his face. And this is where he imparted his light to. And this is what is known as the ziv haponim, the radiance of the face. Now, with this we can understand the number of gemaras that he goes on to explain. The Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Nun Ches Amar Aleph tells us. There the Gemara is discussing, goes on to a discussion because it's speaking about land rights for burial. You bought up land to use as family plots. And then the Gemara goes from there on to a discussion in general of burials. And then the Gemara says that there were a number of these sages who were trying to find ancient burial sites. And one came across the burial site of Adam HaRishon, of the first man. And they asked him, what did you see? It was a cave. What did you see? Now the first time that it's mentioned in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imparted his Tselem, his image to man, was by Adam HaRishon, the first man. So this means that the greatest measure of the Tselem was given to Adam HaRishon. So what did you see? So he said, Nistakalti b'shnei akovav shel Adam HaRishon v'oye kishnei galgalei chamo. I looked at the two heels of the feet of Adam HaRishon, and they were as bright as two suns, as two balls of fire, like two suns. And what does this mean? Then there's a medrash that states, "Ora kovav shel Adam mehayi galgalacham," that the light of the heels of the first man were so bright that they could overshadow the brightness of our sun. The explanation, he says, is very simple. The heel is the furthest point from the face. And the healed always dwells in darkness. And many times in the expression of the Chazal, the Ekev, that's referred to the most insignificant part of man, in contrast to the Ponim. So when Hashem gave his image to man, the greatest dimension went to the face, and the smallest dimension went to the heel. So this is what he meant. He said, I looked at his two heels, and they were brighter than two suns, to show how great of a dimension of this awe, this light, which was given to Adam HaRishon, to the first man. Then we have another Gemara, Bamatsia Peidalet Omar Aleph. It states, Shufra de Yaakov, main Shufra de Adam HaRishon. The face of Yaakov was like the face of Adam HaRishon, the first man. But it doesn't say the face of Yaakov, it says Shufra de Yaakov. Shufra means the shine and the radiance. The shine and the radiance of Yaakov, of our forefather Yaakov, was like the shine and the radiance of Adam HaRishon. And actually, the shine and the face of Adam HaRishon, excuse me, the face of Yaakov was on the throne, was shewed out on the throne of the Almighty by in the Parshas Vayetze, where it states that Yaakov went and he fell asleep, and there was a ladder. Sulam, he had a dream, and Sulam Mutzavatso, there was a ladder going up and down, and the angels were coming down and going up. The Medrash says they were going down to look at him, and they were going up to look at Hashem's throne, and they saw that it was the same person, and they wanted to kill Yaakov. It states Hashem had to stand over to guard Yaakov because they thought that he stole the image from the throne of the Almighty. Now what does it mean that the radiance of Yaakov was like the radiance of Adam HaRishon? Because Adam HaRishon had the greatest radiance. He was the first one to be given the Tzelem. So he had the greatest radiance. And this radiance, though, became dimmed. It says that after the Chet, actually Adam HaRishon was created 100 amos high. And after the Chet, after the sin, so he was diminished. And as the generations went on, so they fell and they fell. And with each generation became dimmed further and further, until the time of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was called the Or. He was called the light of the world because he brought this radiance back. Medrash says when Hashem said Vayhi Or, let there be light, he was referring not only to the light of the creation but the light of Avraham that would be 20 generations later. And Yitzchok went and perfected this light even more, and Yaakov went and he brought it to a total perfection. And this is why he was called, Yaakov was called Ishtam Yosef Aholim. He was the perfect man, dwelled in the tents of Torah. He came to the highest levels of Torah. So he brought this perfection back. And therefore it states, Shufra de Yaakov main Shufra de Adam HaRishon. His radiance was like the radiance of Adam HaRishon before the Chet, before the sin. And Tzurasei Chokuk al Kisei HaKovod, and it was shewed out on the throne of the Almighty. It's very interesting to note that by Yaakov, they called him Al Shema Ekev. We called him by the name of the heel, because when he was born, he was holding on to the heel of Esau. And then when he had his fight with the angel, the angel came and said, your name is not Yaakov, not under name of the heel. Your name is Israel Soriso, that's a king. You are a king that will rule over others. This was the greatness of Israel, of Yaakov. Now, this radiance that he imparted to man is the sign that man is a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he imparted himself, part of himself to him. He's a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he told man right after, he said, B'Tselem Elokim, go and rule the world. Rule from the fish of the sea to the birds of the heaven, to all of the animals and the creatures. Go and rule. What does one thing have to do with the other? Because I am the king, and I have imparted my kingship to you. Therefore, go and rule. And all of the creations recognize this. They recognize this, and they can recognize this in the radiance of man. And actually, before the chait, before the sin, so the Medrash tells us that there was no animal whatsoever that would ever attack a man. They all became his servants. But even after the sin, instinctively, all animals and creatures are fearful of man. Now the sages bring out a very interesting point. It says, the Gemara in Shabbos, and Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Og melech haboshen meis, tzorech leshemer min ha'achborim, tineg ben yumai, chai, ena letzorech, ena tzorech leshemer min ha'achborim. Why is it that Og, who was the great and ferocious giant, and the king of Boshem, why is it that if he's dead, you have to guard him that the Achborim, that the Ravens won't come and eat him? Yet a tinok chai ben yumai. But if you have a newborn baby that is one day old, you don't have to guard from the rodents. Because a baby that's born and is one day has the Tzelem Elokim. He has this light in him. And the rodents and everyone else recognizes that. And they keep their distance. But the greatest giant, once he dies, so that Tzelem departs from him. Once it departs, then he is no longer a king. B'tzrich tzorich shmira tzishimor min ha'achborim. You have to guard him from the rodents. And we see, because we said, how is it descriptive that the person was made a king? Because he stands erect, upright. What happens once HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes this away from him? He dies. He has lost his kingship and he falls. And when he falls, he is bowed and he becomes subservient like everyone else. And now he has been dethroned, and therefore they are not afraid of him. A further Gemara. The Gemara tells us in the first parak of Masechta Brachos, Da Vava Mabez. Viechna Rebelez Eimer. Kiven Shetzore Chodem Lebriyais. Ponov Mishtanim. Once a person has to come on to other people to help him, if a person needs money, so he's got to go and ask someone for some money. He's got to go ask someone for a grant or for a loan or to help him. It says, Ponov Mishtanais, Mishtanim. The expression on his face, the radiance of us on his face is paled. Why is this? Because this radiance is the illustration, is the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, kingship that he gave to the person. A king is someone who gives to others. The king is the source of the sustenance. Not that others are the source for his sustenance. The servant is dependent on the king. Not that the king is reliant on the servants for sustenance. So therefore the king is the one who gives to others. The servants are the ones who have to come to take and to ask. If a person is nitzach lebrius, he has to go to others to take and to ask. He has become subservient. He has fallen from his malchus. He has fallen from this position of sovereignty. And the radiance has become dimmed. Nishtano ponov. And then we go further. The Gemara says, in Bamasiyah daf nun chesam abeis, kol amal bim penei chaverei, ein lei chelik leila mabo. If someone comes and shames another person to the point where he makes that person pale, then he is like a murderer and he loses his portion in the world to come, because he has shamed the Tzelem Elokim. He has shamed the image of Hashem, because this is what he has destroyed. And the Gemara says it's kesheifes domim, it's like the spilling of blood. And the Gemara explains ki osel sumki ve'ose chivor. We see that the redness goes out of his face and he becomes pale. And Manal says, doesn't mean physically he's spilling blood, because physically he's not. But what it means that he is temporarily destroying that radiance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the person. And that itself is a shfichas domim. That is a murder of the image of Hashem that's in the person. And this is why he loses his portion in the world to come. The fact is, it goes further. We are accustomed to thinking, and this is what we started with, we are accustomed to thinking that what is the great sin, what is the great avera of murder? That you're destroying, physically destroying a person. That's not what the Torah says. In Parshas Noach, where the Torah there
prohibited murder, it said, Shefech Damo Odom. Shefech Damo Odom Domi Yisofech. That someone who spills the blood of another person, his blood shall be spilled. Ki Betzelem Elokim Osa Osa Odom. Because he has destroyed the image of Hashem. Doesn't say that the reason why murder is a cardinal crime in the eyes of the Torah, and the Torah demands the death penalty from a murderer, not because he physically destroyed the person, but because ki betzelem elokim osa osa odom, because he has destroyed my image. This is the distinction between destroying a man and destroying an animal. If it was merely because you have physically, biologically destroyed a person, we might say, by an animal, you biologically destroy him also. That's not the reason why the Torah demanded the death penalty. The Torah demands the death penalty because it states, Shefech Dama Odom Doma Yishofech, Ki Betzelem Elokim Osa Osa Odom. That if someone murders another person, he shall be put to death because he has destroyed my image. He has destroyed me, because I have placed my image in man. Now, therefore, if someone comes and shames a person to the point where that radiance goes out of his face, he is also destroying the image of the Almighty. The Gemara says, "Kol amalbin es penei chaveri baradi ki shefech domim hu." Therefore, whoever embarrasses a person to that point publicly, he's a shefech dom. He's the same as a murderer, because he is destroying my image that I have placed in man. This is what is so precious to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Now this image, we said, was given to Adam HaRishon. It was diminished through the generations until Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Israel. And Israel, they brought it back to the world. And this is what Rabbi Akiva taught. He said as follows. Hu ayayma. He would always say, Choviv Odom Shenivar Betzelem. How dear is man to the Almighty that he was created in his image. Chibi Yisele Nodasle Shenivar Betzelem. He showed him such special love that he gave him from his image, as it states, Ki Betzelem Elokim Osa Osa Odom. In the image of the Almighty, he has made man. Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Abonim Lamokom. Now, the portion of this image he gave to Yisrael is far greater than all of the other nations. Because it was lost from the other nations, that dimension of it, that measure of it was lost. There's Selam Elokim in every human being, but it was diminished through the generations until Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov brought it back. And therefore Rabbi Akiva says, how special Yisrael is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them Bonim Lamokom. He called them my children. Chibu Yisera Nadas Lehem Shenikru Bonim Lamokom.
the special love he gave them, because he called them my children. Shenemar bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, you are my children. Chavivim Yisrael shenosem lem kli chemdo, chibi yaseirin adas lehem shenosem lem kli chemdo. And because of that, if you want to know how dear Yisrael is, he gave to Yisrael, and only to Yisrael, the portion of himself of his entire Torah. Shenemar ki lekach tov nosati lochem torosi al ta'azovu, I have therefore given you my lekach tov, my greatest gift, my Torah, do not forsake it. So this is what Rabbi Kiva would always say, and this is what he understood. And if people would understand this, firstly, they would be very, very careful, more careful when it would come to human life, when it would come to murder of countless people without purpose, or all types of loss of life. But they would also be very more careful of their own lives, of guarding their own lives, and of what one can achieve. And this is why we said that if a person feels that a person in essence is of a very low level, he's frail, he's weak, he's tempted, he's full of kina, the type of akovet, jealousies and temptations and quest for amir and machlekes and so forth and so on. It's true, he can sink to such levels. But if he thinks that's what the human being is, there cannot be a greater denial, kfira, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explicitly said, after the creation of this vast universe, now I shall create man in my image. The universe did not create in his image, and everything that was in it. But now we shall create man in my image. And if we keep understanding this, and especially understanding the dimension of this he gave to Israel, that not only are they human beings, but he called them Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, you are my children. And he gave to them, to the whole world, he gave seven mitzvahs, six and seven mitzvahs. And to them he gave my entire Torah. So from here he understood not only how great the Torah is, but how great the human being is. And it was through this understanding which helped him achieve these enormous heights. So these are some of the great principles of Rabbi Kiva. Choviv Odom Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim, that how dear is man who was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv in Yisrael, that are called Bonim Lamokim, sons to Hashem, and that were given his most precious gift, as it states, Ki lekach tov nasati lechem torosi al ta'azovu, I am giving you my gift of goodness, my Torah, do not forsake it. We should all be zeicher to have a chag sumeach, a chag shvuos, a chag matan Torah seim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za. or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.